Testing 1, 2, 3.
Tuesday night, September 13th, 6 p.m., the regular meeting of the town commission. We have a roll call, please.
Mayor Williams.
Here.
Commissioner Brennan.
Here.
Commissioner Ely.
Here.
Commissioner Kellen.
Here.
Commissioner Merritt.
Here.
And Commissioner Pross is absent.
Would you lead us in a prayer and pledge allegiance?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have as American citizens, and we thank you for allowing our towns to have commissioners that make choices for its citizens, and we just ask that you would lead and guide and direct them. And we also, Lord, I feel like I would be amiss if I did not mention the passing of Emery Sullivan, a longtime resident and friend here in Inglis, who passed away this week. And we just ask that you would be with his wife and family and comfort them as only you can. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
My pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item is attorney comments. Mr. Pugate, do you have anything to put on us?
Don't have any comments unless y'all want me to comment on anything that might be later on the agenda.
Thank you. Under ordinances, the first item is the first reading of ordinance 07-11. Is Dick Streeter here?
No, sir, he's not here. He's sick tonight.
Okay.
I think George is going to.
Oh, okay.
This is ordinance number 07-11. An ordinance amending the town of Inglis land development regulations. Amending the text of Article 4 zoning the land development code to revise section 34-278, continuance of a non-conformant use or structure, and section 34-279, discontinuance of a non-conforming use, providing severability and establishing an effective date.
You want to just mention the highlights of it? It actually clears up something that had been going on for close to 10 years. It
removes that drop-dead date for non-conforming uses, and it makes the playing field a great deal leveler by taking some of the language out. The Planning Commission just seemed to think that it fit. The ordinance is a great deal better, made everybody much more equal to everybody. You don't have to drop the addict, but you've got to come in on August 25th. And we just think this is going to work a great deal better. It won't be putting any hardship on anyone.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that it is something that's been amended, or it's asking to be amended, that it'll be a real benefit to the town. It clears that up in pretty good shape. Any comments? Would someone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we adopt ordinance 07-11, an ordinance amending the Town of Inglis land development regulations, amending the text of the Article 4 zoning of the land development code to revise section 34-278, continuance of non-conforming use or structure, and section 34-297, discontinuance of non-conforming use, providing severability and establishing an effective date.
I second that.
Have a second. Any further discussion?
Yes, sir. It's 34-279. You just transposed the numbers.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll second.
Any other comments? Comments from the floor? Back to the board then. All in favor of the ordinance, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Motion carried four to nothing. The next item is a relative to the general budget transfer amendment. Sally, would you take that one?
Resolution number R5-11, 2010-2011 Budget Transfer Amendment. A resolution by the Town Commission of the Town of Inglewood to amend budget line items for the general fund operation budget for the 2010-2011 budget year. And we are moving from the reserve contingency, line item 001-600005, $25,000, moving it to the capital improvement line, item 001-513-620, in the amount of $25,000. And this was for the equipment that the mayor purchased at auction.
Sounds good. Any comments on the board? Someone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution number R5-11, 2010-2011 Budget Transfer Amendment.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, do we have a second? Any comments from the floor? Any further comments here? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Motion carried four to nothing. The next item is resolution 6-11 relating to fire protection services assessments. Sally, do you want to, I'm sorry.
Yes, presented for your consideration is resolution number R6-11, which is a resolution of the Town Commission of the Town of Inglewood, Florida, ratifying the fire protection service assessments against property located within the Town of Inglewood for fire protection services for the fiscal year beginning October 1st of 2011, approving the assessment roll and providing an effective date. If adopted, this resolution would implement the per parcel fire assessment that has been discussed by the Town Commission through the budget process. I believe that the per parcel assessment would be the same amount that it has been in at least the prior year, maybe a couple of prior years. It's going to generate a little bit less than it generated last year because a couple of parcels have been combined or otherwise went off of the tax roll. And it will, if you refer to Appendix B of the resolution and you look at the mathematical calculations of what you'd included in your budget, you'll see that the assessments are not going to quite fund the entire projected cost for the town for fire protection services for the year, but it's close.
Thank you. Any comments from the board? Any comments from the audience? Go ahead, Dan. Mr. White.
I was under the assumption that we kept the millage rate at 5, whatever, and we were going to back off some of the assessments. I didn't know if that was still in the works, so we're going to keep all the assessments and the millage rate at the 5 rate. So I thought that that's what we were going to do through the budget stuff. I haven't heard nothing but assessments still here, and it's only been here 1 year. So, mm-hmm. Fire assessment last year, it was one of them. Bring it for 1 year, we're not going to do it again, but they never seem to go away.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I think part of what has happened this year is that with the fire department of the whole southern part of Levy County being kind of up in the air, we decided not to make any change this year. It's something that's going to be worked out from what we understand next year or by the end of this year, but right now we don't know. We don't know where we stand.
Given more to English this year than they did last year?
I don't think so. I think it's, yeah, I think they cut it. Yeah. Anybody else have anything they wish to comment on? Okay, back to the board then. All in favor of the resolution? Seeing the motion. I'm sorry, that's getting ahead. Someone like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we adopt resolution number R6-11, a resolution of the Town Commission of the Town of Inglewood, Florida, ratifying the fire protection services assessment against property located within the Town of Inglewood for fire protection services for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2011, approving the assessment role and providing an effective date.
We have a motion, can we have a second?
Second.
Being no further discussion, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Motion carries four to nothing. Resolution 7-11, stormwater management fee assessment.
This is resolution number R7-11, a resolution of the Town Commission of the Town of Inglewood, Florida, ratifying the stormwater management fee assessments against property located within the Town of Inglewood for stormwater management services for the fiscal year beginning October 1st, 2011, approving the assessment role and providing an effective date. Similar to the resolution that you just passed, this would impose reimpose for the next fiscal year the stormwater assessment, the rate of $54 per tax parcel is not changing from the previous year. Same comments apply, there's a few of the parcels have been combined, so this will be down a little bit. Just want to make clear that this is the purpose of this assessment is to fund stormwater services, maintenance services during the year. I think there'd been some discussion in the past as to whether this actually was funding some capital monies that were in connection with the big project that was going to be done by the town together with the water management district, but this just funds stormwater services that are in the budget for the year.
Okay. Any discussion from the board? Any comments from the audience? Back to the board, all in favor of resolution.
We need a motion.
We need a motion, please. I'm getting anxious.
I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution number R7-11, a resolution of the Town Commission of the Town of Inglewood, ratifying the stormwater management fee assessment against properties located within the Town of Inglewood for stormwater management services for the fiscal year beginning October 1st, 2011, approving the assessment role and providing an effective date.
We have a motion, can we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried four to nothing. The next two items are relating to the town's auditor, and I think if Mr. Feigate, if you wouldn't mind responding to that, these are contracts or items of understanding. If you have any comments regarding these.
I do not. It's my understanding that both of these are just a renewal, if you will, of the agreements for services that you've had in the past years with two firms. One is Carr, Riggs, and Ingram, which is the firm that does your actual audit at the end of each year, which you're required to do under Florida law. And the other proposed agreement is with Beecham and Edwards, who really is kind of the day in and day out consultant for your financial advisory needs during the year. And it's my understanding that Beecham and Edwards pretty much keeps things on track within Town Hall as far as the books of the town, so that when the year is over with, you hand over a balanced set of books to your auditor to do the auditing services at the end of the year.
And
it's my understanding that the proposed agreement with Carr, Riggs, and Ingram is for the fiscal years ending September 30th of 2011, 12, and 13.
Okay.
If you could do separate motions also.
Make it separate motions, okay. Someone care to make a motion, please?
I'll make a motion that we accept Carr, Riggs, and Ingram as our auditors for 2011, 12, and 13.
Okay. We have a second?
I'll second for discussion. Really like to discuss
it. Go ahead, if you'd like to.
Now, are these fees the same fees, Sally?
They go up a little bit each year, as with the cost of anything else, but they're basically, that's projected out through the 13, year 13, which is good.
Anything further? Mr. Monteverdi?
I'm Monteverdi Inglis. I would like to suggest that in this contract, that we include RAVAC as part of our audit responsibility. Currently, it operates outside of the controls of Sally and the ladies in the office. The only thing that happens is we get a purchase order and then pay the person who bought something for RAVAC, but we don't control the revenue for that same purchase. And this department has a known loss of significant value that has been reported. So all of this is done outside of Inglis accounting. So let me try to be specific. Someone lost some money. That money is a known loss as far as I'm concerned. It's not carried on the books. However, the expense that generated that money that eventually got lost is on the books. So this whole RAVAC organization either needs to be funded by themselves, paid by themselves, or brought in under control by this town. Currently, you have a practice of bringing people forward and approving them to be on RAVAC. So, and ostensibly, you're approving what goes on, but you're not paying attention to the finances.
Okay, I can respond to that. We are not responsible for the monies until they come into Town Hall. Once they come into Town Hall, they are on our books because they go through our accounting system. The monies that he's talking about was reported that the person had misplaced those funds and has been up until probably a month and a half ago had been making restitution, which is recorded as restitution as it comes in. We cannot be responsible for their monies that they make because we have no way of knowing what they make, and that is done through, most of their projects are handled through donations and just the things that they put on, and they bring the money in. We take them, whatever they turn into us, that's what we're accountable for.
Okay, so what we have is an organization that, for good intentions, is a good organization. They're coming for you for money to pay for their supplies, but if there's money missing, you don't account for it anyplace on the records. You only record transactions that are replenishing purchases. But if money is lost or not accounted for, you don't show that on your books as a problem. So this whole area goes unrecognized.
When that happened, we put in place in RAVAC certain standard accounting procedures. Currently, the money comes in, two RAVAC volunteers count that money. That money is then turned over to me. The very next day Town Hall is open, I bring that in. They make a note, and Sally can attest to this, as to what was brought in. If that doesn't match, it comes out of my pocket.
Okay. That isn't what I'm not trying to suggest dishonesty here. What I'm trying to suggest, you have an organization within the town of Inglis that you don't put under the same kind of controls that you do every other purchasing department that you have.
The fire department doesn't fall under that. That's their money they're using. Normally, I'm not exactly sure what the threshold is, but normally they won't do a single act audit unless it's probably, I want to say, at least $5,000. They just don't do that.
Well, this, I'd like to go back because I've looked at the purchase orders. Many of the purchase orders are not filled out correctly. There is no proof, even to this day, of, as the amount of money that was is missing, because we only have the word of an individual, and I'm sure that's factual, but there's certain accounting things that should have taken place, such as how many tickets do you have or the tickets number, how many did you sell, how much money did you bring in. This department is not under any control. And if there's others not on any control, then we should either push them aside and make them stand alone or embrace them and bring them in. But we can't, we should not allow people to get money for purchases and not know exactly how much revenue they got.
But that's not the case, because when they come in and get money, they have to have that much money in the account or they don't get a PO for it.
No, that's not true. The money that's missing is not on your books any place as missing.
Well, it never came in.
It never came in.
That's exactly my point. It should have come in. You should have made a journal entry now that it's lost and uncontrolled. And you didn't. It's all hidden. It's not under anybody's watchful eye.
I actually think, I mean, while this may be a valid point, it's irrelevant to this contract that you, the motion you have on the table. This really is, I mean, the motion you have on the table is for a contract to
audit
whatever funds are under the control of the city. What Mr. Monteverdi is talking about is a different subject, and that is the internal controls that the town exerts over these funds by Rayback, which is different subject than the contract that's on the table. Mm-hmm. My suggestion would be that you haven't done the Beecham and Edwards contract yet, but when you do that, and assuming that Beecham and Edwards is, as I said, the consultant that advises on the day-in and day-out affairs of the city and how those things are maintained, that you delegate to the city clerk, perhaps, to work with Mr. Beecham to make sure that those funds are properly accounted for and the proper procedures and controls are applied to those funds. So I do agree that the Rayback funds are town funds and should be properly monitored and reported in conjunction with...
they are once they come into the town, and that is according to, at one of the town meetings when the auditor was here, he also stated that until they come into town hall, once they get on our books, yes, they are town funds and they are accountable for, but... until they are brought in and given to us, I'm not responsible for that money until it's turned in.
You're not. I think just to be able to be on the safe side, I think I would have Mr. Beecham take a look at the procedure of the handling of those funds prior to the time that they came in the town hall. And I think he can, I mean, it's not the first time he's ever dealt with something like that, and can give you some valuable input on maybe how to structure that. So.
Okay.
I think the reason I brought it up in thinking was because Mr. Beecham said to me, if you want that done, it has to be included in my contract. So that's the only reason.
Right, I'm sure it would be.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I just have one more comment, if I may, please.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Sally, the only other thing I was going to ask about is what is a state financial assistant program? On this one contract, it said if they needed special reporting for that, it would be a one-time fee of $3,000.
That's exactly what we were talking about. Sometimes when we get grants, like if the fire department or the police department gets a grant, which causes them, they have to come in and do a single audit on that particular grant, and there are additional charges for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think the comments are well taken, but we'll go ahead and this does not really address something like that, but I think that with the attorney's recommendation that should probably discuss that with Mr. Beecham during the year, so, bring it back forward, did we, it's been a while, I think we did have a motion on this one.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, and second by Commissioner Ely.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Motion carried, 4-0. So, the next one is, so they call it a letter of understanding between Mr. Beecham, Edwards, and the Town of Inglis, so this is the other one that, did you say that this one had the, no, they've got hourly fees that, they charge, is this?
This particular one from Beecham and Edwards is proposing a do not exceed fee of $10,600 for the year, which is...
The standard.
Which is actually a little less than $1,000 a month, for his, basically, I would call this more of a bookkeeping advice, services, that he provides, through the year.
And they actually come in and do the preparation of the, for the audit, so that when Karen Riggs comes in, Karen Riggs does, they don't have to go and do all the prep work. Beecham and Edwards takes care of all the prep work ahead of time for them, so that when they come in, then everything's there for them to do the audit.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, should we leave this, that sometime during the year that you will, you know, discuss it with Mr. Beecham?
Absolutely.
And go through that.
And I'll have Commissioner Mayor.
In the meantime.
And myself meet with him and...
Okay. Any other comments? Someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the letter from Beecham and Edwards.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay.
I'll second it, as long as we look, have Sally look into what Mr. Monteverdi was talking about on readback, discussing it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion carries 4-0. At this time, I'd like to get, Mr. White, we'd like to move your two items up, while Mr. Fugate is here with us at the meeting. So if you wouldn't, is this acceptable to everybody that we move items C and D up?
Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thanks for your time. I'm White. Did y'all get the packet of my property?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Hold on just a minute. Okay.
This property, when I bought it, had ingress and egress. And went through a bunch of stuff with the town on the fence. Actually, the town's supposed to be fixing. They put a cable thing, all kinds of stuff up there, and was going to clear the thing, make sure it's pretty all the time. They've never done none of that. And the property is landlocked, and I can't sell the property if I needed to. And I've noticed the dollar stores coming in and stuff like that. And I was just trying to get some kind of gate system or something in there to unlandlock that property. And the former commission did whatever they did, and I'd just like to get it rectified somehow, instead of going back through the legal system. So, I didn't know if we had some more sensible stuff, or if we get something resolved here or not. And I talked to Mr. George, and he said approach you guys instead of the planning commission to see what your thoughts were on it.
Well, the only thing I can give my thoughts on, I think it's a could be a hazard to have it opened up, you know, the way we had gone through a year or two ago. Doesn't the state make cut through? Can you apply with the state to get a driveway?
I spent $750 with the DOT to get denied a curb cut. They told me the access road was the side road there. The same way as they told Case and Acres when they were trying to sell the part over here, that was access for, I think it's Mr. Merrick or somebody's property there, that they wouldn't put the curb cut in the front. Because they don't like to come off a 19 like that. That's why that property was set up that way. So.
Yeah, they only put so many curb cuts, so many feet.
250 feet. I think they allowed the dollar store because the road came in from the other side, Inglis Avenue or something, and that's why they were allowed.
They had that straight for the cutouts already in the median, so they didn't have to do anything there.
Yeah.
Anybody have any, want to make any comments?
Actually, I believe there's only just a resolution saying that fence is okay. I'm not Mr. Fugate, more of the legal mumbo jumbo, but there was never a ordinance, I don't believe. I know I spent a lot of money and the town spent a lot of money.
Yep.
And I just, if I could get some kind of, I don't understand why it was landlocked in the first place, for real.
Go ahead, Sheriff.
As I recall, back when this discussion occurred before, part of the problem was the hazard that Dick mentioned, because the cars coming out of there were not going around Palm Point. They were not going in the right direction. There were nearly head-on collisions, and I believe that was part of the problem, Andy.
Well, I'd like to get an ingress and an egress, so that eliminates that part of the problem. That was a big part of it, because if you came in that way, you were fine, but if you went out, you had to go up a little bit and go around. But the exit, and if you look at the picture, the exit was actually supposed to be on the back of that property. And when I first bought it, I didn't realize tow trucks would come in there. And they should have been exiting, going out the other way. And they wasn't doing that, so. And it got with Mr. Sinopoli, me and him didn't see eye to eye, so it got into a big ruckus there, so.
Well, I believe there were a lot of issues with Palm Point residents as well.
Right. Well, I'm trying to solve them. I see there was a lot of issues with the dollar store, too, and that's been resolved, because I pay commercial property taxes. That property has been downgraded to 38 grand from about 68,000. So really, that costs the town of Inglis money every year because of the taxes that went down. So if we need more taxes for me, which we just added $1,400 to my tax bill with the assessments, you just did, so. I would like you to add some on this right here, if you would.
Go ahead, Betty.
When I go and...
Would you go ahead and give your name for the record, please?
I'm Betty Berger.
Thank you.
And I like what you said. And that something could be worked out. Because he's a businessman, he has 8, 9, 10 employees. Think about it. Now, when I go in to his property, I go in where December's is. There's an easy way to make a circular driveway there. And it could be not that he owns it, but that he has the right to use it. So he has a circular driveway in and out of 19. He's not landlocked. How about thinking about that? Maybe somebody that has more knowledge than me, maybe the mayor. He's a good one to figure things out. See if you can't please him some way, because this is a problem to him. And if I can make a circular driveway with nobody saying anything, anybody could. The police have never stopped me. And that place is closed. He cannot even use it in December because he can't put in a septic tank. And so there should be no problem with letting...
I think you're talking about a I'm sorry, but it's a different piece of property.
I am talking about a different piece of property.
Oh, okay.
Whoever owns these Ibers can't even use it. They can't sell it. They bought it, they didn't know, they couldn't put a septic tank, they can't use it.
Okay.
But there is a driveway there. And I believe that the town could think about, or somebody could think about, has more knowledge than me.
Yeah.
To help this guy out, because he's been fighting this for a long time. He can't give up, because he is landlocked. There's a way to solve it.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it, dear.
Okay, Mr. Monteverdi.
I'd just like to say, I'm not selling the thing, I'd just like to get it to where it's the way it was. I'm not, I mean, they could put some gates up and lock the gates, and that would be fine. We're not changing nothing.
Okay.
You know, as you're facing Andy's property, somebody, I guess, there was some kind of complaint, you put up a fence on Pond Point Drive. If you didn't put up a fence on the other side of the other property, so you treated one person one way, and you didn't do something for the other piece of property, which is commercial. So, what are you going to force them to do? Put up another fence over there when that property sold? So, let me again. Andy White, I'm looking at Andy White's place here. It's Pond Point Drive, piece of property right here, no fence.
Town didn't put that fence up.
Who did?
Pond Point.
Pond Point.
Pond Point resident put that fence in, and then I had opposition, but they then turned the fence over to the town, and commission accepted it. I was totally against them putting the fence up and then turning it over to us for us to maintain and take care of.
You can give the fence back to Andy?
It was never Andy's, it was Pond Point's.
Okay, but Pond Point gave it to Inglis? So now Inglis can give it back to Andy? And that solves the problem, right?
No.
I don't think it, I don't think that, without the fence is sitting on Andy's property.
Well, but, you know, it's not right to do one side of the street and not the other. It seems to be punitive to this guy. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me at all. And if it's Pond Point, because there was a commissioner and a mayor who decided to do something, and I think the other piece of property may be owned by our commissioner, or a former commissioner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so something was done that wasn't, I'll say kosher. It wasn't done right. I mean, don't penalize this. That's my only comment.
Thank you. Any further comments?
I'd also like to say, just think how nice your life would be if I wasn't in. You know why?
You'd find something.
This is it. Is why I'm in. So, just think how relaxed you guys would have been for the last 6 years.
Who owns that? Is that Palm Point's ingress and egress?
Actually, the property owner I bought the place from in 1952 donated that road.
To
Palm Point.
Okay, so that's all Palm Point. That's
to the public.
Right.
The public road.
Can I give some background on this?
And that's,
I think we need it.
Yeah. Well, I know what he was going to say. He wants more money and wants me to continue this fight.
No, I don't think he wants you to keep fighting.
I think he likes over.
Well, I still have a thought too. We're going to wind this up. Go ahead, just for a few.
The background of this was, and I don't know if there was any, I know Tom was around then, but I'm not sure who else might have been on the commission at the time. What caused this, and I think there was a comment earlier about, was the manner in which these access points were being used. And I'm not sure that they were ever legal access points from the beginning, but out in front of this property there was another access point that was being used that come out right at the front of Pond Point Drive coming into 19. And these two lanes of Paw Point Drive come together there right before you get to 19. Well, what was happening, according to statements by folks that came and talked about it to the commission, at that particular access point, vehicles were coming out of Mr. White's property and across the people turning in. And there were some issues with some possible accidents, near accidents there.
That's right.
Another thing that was going on is at this first access point that Mr. White's showing on his drawing here, is rather than turning onto the inbound lane of Palm Point Drive and going and doing the U-turn and coming back out, they were cutting across the median of Palm Point Drive. So I remember that being an issue also. I want to disagree with a statement that has been made, and please don't go away from here with the notion in any way that Mr. White is landlocked. He is not landlocked. This went to court, and that was a specific finding that was necessary to the court basically throwing the case out, is that Mr. White is not landlocked. He has access across the other part of his property going to, I guess that would be south, over to the other part. So in the court, that was well litigated in court, and that was made clear. So there is no landlocking of this property. He owns the adjacent property, and the adjacent property has access to 19. So he's not landlocked. There was a statement made about DOT turning down the driveway permit. It might have been, I don't know if that was because they said that he had alternate access off of Palm Point Drive. It may have been because they said he had alternate access off of 19 down by December's. Mm-hmm. So that could have been DOT's rationale on that, on not providing that. It's not uncommon with streets like 19 or highways like 19 in an area downtown to have side access roads that would be across Mr. White's property to get to either one of these lots. So those are the alternatives within the court case. And again, it was well litigated. There was a lot of money spent on this. And the ultimate resolution of the court case is that what the town did in cutting off the access, putting up the fence, and not allowing Mr. White or vehicles off of Mr. White's property on the Palm Point Drive was legal. It was all legal. That was the conclusion of the court case. So there really is nothing. Unless Mr. White can convince, three commissioners that changed their mind about what was done before, there's really nothing to be done here. What the town did before is legal, was found to be legal, and that's where we're at today.
Here's the deal. That now Oz Barker has downgraded my property value in Levy County. Parker says there are curb cuts supposed to be on Palm Point Drive. It didn't go through the court that way. That's what it's going to go through the court the next time. If you keep this up right here.
Yeah, Oz Parker.
You can do whatever you want to do here with this.
Oz Parker has no jurisdiction.
I didn't gloss over you at all, did I? Okay. The curb cut was denied by the DOT because I have access on that road, and he knows that I gave him the paperwork to prove it. So, whatever you guys want to keep doing here is fine. The property is two separate lots. One lot I can't sell now. When I bought it, the people drove through and drove out 19. Okay? So, when I bought it, I'm thinking, hey, that's what we do. They never came to me and said, oh my God, you're crashing us, don't do none of that. There was no crash. There might have been some people pulling out in front of my guys close to doing whatever, I don't know. I would have stopped it if somebody would have came. Mr. Brenner would have came to me and said, look, this has happened. He knows I would have stopped. So instead, we keep padding people's pockets like this right here. And landlocking property that I bought that wasn't landlocked before I bought it. If that property was transferred to somebody else, what are they going to do? That's what the court said. If Drew White didn't own it, we would have to rule against it. That's basically what the court said. And at that time, I was going to transfer it to my mom or somebody I trust. But you can't do that because that's your family. So, you know, it's a big, if you want me still in your life, keep doing this.
Thank you. Anything further? Andy, you got the next item too.
Is that cool off period?
Would you want it? Get a little R&R before you.
Do you have that paper that I gave you about the questions I had? About when they went down to the Yankee Town? I kind of looked into that. If you have an interlocal agreement, the county is going to say, hey, go down there and take care of our crap. Okay? And Mr. Dixon has to go down there and take care of it. So, my question is, Inglis made 174 calls to Yankee Town with no reimbursement from the county or Yankee Town. He went down there with his hat in his hand and, hey, could you help us, throw us a bone or whatever, because we're trying to develop a decent police force here. And, of course, Yankee Town said no. So, I raised the point last month that if he's not going to go down there this month, I read in the newspaper that he arrested some Miss Brock down there in Yankee Town at Cattail Creek or somewhere like that. So, he has to go down there. Or you need to do something with interlocal agreements. This way, I'm understanding it. Is that true or not?
We're going to have to ask the chief. I don't... He's going to have to respond to this arrest you speak of. I have no idea what that's all about, whether that was...
It's been the newscaster. Now, I'm not trying to put him on the spot. I'm just trying to make sure that something don't happen down there. And he wishes he saved the kids that he didn't go see because we didn't get no money.
As far as interlocal agreements goes, it works both ways. The county does help us, we help it. Us more than them. They need us more than we need them. That's in all honesty. I think I just said that when the mayor was there with him. The situation you're talking about there, that arrest, it was Swing's arrest. She lived at Cattail Creek. We arrested her down before. You misread the report. So we weren't in Yankee Town to make that arrest. She was in our jurisdiction. But there's a state statute, and I'm sure Mr. Reed gets well aware of it also, that says there will be a local agreement between law enforcement agencies to help each other out. In any emergency or time of crisis, or any other time deemed necessary by the highest elected official in the county, which is the sheriff. So if I sit there and thumb my nose at the sheriff and not sign that interlocal agreement, I'll cut my own throat. And any other local municipal police chief will say the same thing. So I have an advantage a lot of people don't have. I was a deputy for 27 years also, and a supervisor at Metro Dade. So I know how the county works, I know how the municipality works. So we're at catch 22. If we don't do it, we can be punished by the state. If we do it, we're punished by our own pocketbook. That's what it all boils down to.
But we did talk to the sheriff and had him with the understanding that, you know, not to ask us to go down there unless it was something that he felt was deemed to be necessary.
But
so
we cut way back on
our right, so.
Now it's pretty much a life and death or a situation where it's unknown and you do have to check out before we take that information. So the calls may be down, it's gone way down, and we're turning every effort we can to filter the calls as they come in and make a determination. But Andy has made a good point. I couldn't sleep at night, I let my daughter die for the sake. So that's the bottom line. It's one of the things of the profession.
Okay, my main question is, if the county needs us down here, then why are we paying them for dispatch stuff, paying them for this and paying them for that? Why don't they understand, because they're deputized? I was following Mr. Swiggy on the way home, and I was thinking, man, I'll just pass him, see if he can pull me over. So I called on the phone, and I asked him, hey, are they deputized outside the city limits? And he said, if the sheriff's department asked them to do that. So if they're asking you to do something that's costing the town of Inglewood money, why aren't they? So I don't mean holding them over. I know Mr. Dixon got 3 cars from Citrus. When he first come here, got 3 patrol cars from them as a, hey, we appreciate you doing your job over here and stuff like that. And the county up here, I understand, hey, it's a little county, but they've got Plum Creek, Tarmac, all kinds of stuff coming in there, and they don't throw Inglewood anything. I didn't know if there was some way to have them, you know, and I know Evan Sullivan is closer to us. You know, maybe in the following year or something happens, he'll be more apt to help. Then it takes some of the burden off of all of the Inglewood people here, you know. And I don't want, I wouldn't sleep good if I stood here and said, hey, don't go down there and then something. I wouldn't want to be a commissioner to tell him that, like y'all basically did last month. I would feel bad. What if something happened and a baby drowned or something? Over. Whatever the case might be.
Yeah, thank you.
But
I think
some subsidies should happen.
Well, I think that the chief has told us in the past that we probably don't know all the times that they contact the sheriff's office. But as I recall, we've had a couple of they have an investigative, I guess would be the term, group that they send down. We've had some pretty good.
Those numbers ain't even close.
Well, maybe on an incident basis, but I'm sure that they...
The supportive function of the sheriff's office to help small municipalities. I do not have lab functions. I do not have SWAT. I do not have an in-depth detective bureau. They will come help us in those incidents. And, yeah, we don't use them a lot, but when we use them, we really need them. So it's one hand more than the other, and like I said, unfortunately, it's just one of the aspects of the
Number 5 on that is Jenkins. When y'all were down there, I listened to the tape when y'all were down there, and they showed some kind of support for Inglewood and the county. I didn't know if that would do something to where Yankee Town could say, hey, Inglewood covers all our stuff. We paid y'all this amount of money. Why don't they throw 30 grand at Inglewood? You know what I'm saying? On something like that.
It's not something I'm talking about. I agree with you. But to say that, to make a long story short,
Inglewood is getting the milk for free and has been for 20 years. Or Yankee Town, right? Inglewood is paying for the cow,
the
milker, everything else. So.
Mm-hmm. I want to drag this out, but I do have my feelings, just like everybody does. And I think, and I agree with Andy, and probably the chief feels the same way, we get the short end of the stick. We pay the sheriff the same amount of money everybody else does. And yet, we get less in services. He wants us to go out and do his work, which I feel morally we are obligated to do. I would feel terrible if something terrible happened down there. But yet, we don't get reimbursed for it. I mean, yeah, okay, he does lab work for us. Well, what if we didn't have a police department here? He'd be doing everything in this town.
That's right.
And it just goes on, and we pay, just like probably all the other municipalities, we pay the sheriff in our taxes, the same as everybody else, and we also support our police department. And I do have strong feelings about Yankee Town. And I think Yankee Town floats on our budget all the time. I'm sorry, and I don't care whether they like me or don't. I've said it over for the years, even while I was an employee, and I still feel that way. They tout how low their taxes are, huh? How much do we pay for them? Taking care of them.
Any other comments?
Well, I'm good with all that, and I've cooled off a little bit. I'd like an answer on the fence stuff out of this commission. I'd like y'all to say yay or nay or whatever between the four of y'all that are here, if you would, because that's what I kind of, without looking at, you know, my pockets over there.
He still has some, you still had the PD cars you were going to address.
What?
PD cars you were going to address. Take home cars.
Let it go.
Okay.
Good luck, man. I mean, just give me a vote so I know who's on what or what.
Well, I think it'd be, I don't think it would be a vote, but it, I don't know, would it be out of order if everybody just gave their
opinion.
Their opinion or feelings on the matter?
The fence is there and I believe it should stay.
The fence is there, but I myself will look into some things about, you know, what was done. But I agree the fence is there, so I'm not saying I'm totally against the fence being there, but I'd like to know more about it.
I'd also like to add, I haven't touched Mr. Dixon, ain't chased me or nothing. The older me, we could say the fence wasn't there, or that would be behind bars.
My personal feeling is I don't like to see anybody having a hardship, but I think it could be a danger to the people going in and out. Back there before that fence went in, it's pretty obvious there were some big ruts, and you know, it just seems wrong to me to have access into that property with, especially with this type of a business, if you're hauling things across a narrow road. It seems like there's got to be a better way to do it.
Well, you know, when the fence got put there, when I put a culvert, ask Mr. Tom, I was putting a culvert there, making everything the way it should be. And that's what, because he called me and said, look, I got to move whatever this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and come down here, can you help me get it out of your way? So, what is your thoughts now after I've run you through the culverts for 4 years? She's the only one that voted against it.
You weren't supposed to say that.
No, I take that back. Scratch that.
Well, at that issue, yes, that was the way I voted. On this issue, the way I look at it is that I believe that you aren't landlocked in a way, because there is variances that can come up and changes. But without, only got this an hour ago, without really thinking about this subject, I wouldn't want to comment on it either way, because it wouldn't be fair to what happened in the past,
right,
what's happening now in the present. And if you said you're going to have gates that you're never going to open, that kind of defeats the purpose that you have the leisure to do it one way or the other.
Right. So open, I'm not going to, you know, and if I sell the place, who knows what to look at. I wish it was a Cracker Barrel, but it's a dollar store.
Yeah.
You know, so stuff's coming here, and somebody sooner or later is going to do what has to be done and spend the money that has to be spent.
Is there a cut for the next property over? I should know as many times I go up and down there.
For boys?
Yeah, is there a cut for... Has he got a DOT cut? I don't think there's a DOT cut there.
So he...
Huh? Is there one there, Danny?
Out on 19. I think all of them lots were basically had access when they were plotted out there.
So,
and I know this whole thing started by thinking that wasn't two lots. And it ended up, oh my God, it is two lots, but he owns that one, so we're good at taking food out of his baby's mouth. That really is what happened. Because I bought the thing with access, then it was taken by a government.
Did the same person own the two lots when you bought them?
Yeah.
It is. But they were still listed as two separate lots, even then. So then my question is, how did DOT, well... I guess if it was all by the same, yeah, the curb cut, it should have been a curb cut put there, although they have a restriction on how many they put within so many feet, but on the same token, every lot beyond that has a curb cut.
Well, Right, within that. That was a rule after all that was established through there. And Inglis has a lot of problems, like Ms. Betty said about that restaurant. That restaurant would be nothing unless I give them property to do whatever they need for their septic stuff. So, and what DOT, how they explained it to me is if there's an emergency at your place, they don't want you coming in off of 19 if there's an access road. Same thing with Case and Inglis down here. They want any emergency stuff off the highway for the access. So that's how they explain it. Perry Young and Ron Sherman. That's how they
explain it. I have a meeting with DOT tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And it's one of the top guys is going to be there because I have an issue, or we have an issue now with something that's in that area too. But anyway, I'll bring it up, and see if there's any way that can be relooked into and see if it can be a curb cut put on that piece of property. I agree. I don't think a man should own a piece of property that he can't sell or get rid of.
Well, I might need to sell just that one,
Keep from dragging this on, we got other things to go to. But let me look into that tomorrow, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had a letter that a citizen had wrote in regards to the car that she wanted read into the record, but since it's not an issue, we won't read it into the record.
Relative to the same subject? Can we make it kind of short and leave it the way it is?
No, I have no more comment about the fence, but I listened to the tape in Yankeetown where Mayor Williams went, and the folks in Yankeetown actually had a vote, and it came up 2-2-4, supporting us going up to Levy County. And Mayor Dawn, she threw the vote to support you all. And if you listen to the tape, they are willing, in either writing or in a meeting, to go with you all up to Levy County and to see if you can get a transfer of some funds from their budget to Inglis for the police department. That's clearly what I heard. So they made the statement. They're willing to stand by it. I think we just need somebody to drive the process on this side. And they feel very strongly that Levy County should take care of their needs and not Inglis, but they realize that, I think in their words, we got a bad deal, but they don't want to pay for anymore, but they're willing to go support some money coming to us for them, for their use, but they won't pony up anymore on their own. So that's clearly what I heard. So if somebody here could take the initiative, if it's Sally, who's not here tonight, so be it, but somebody should do this.
Okay. Thank you.
I think the mayor knows that they were genuine, right?
Yeah, that's what he said, except what we do have the problem of having somebody to go up there and do that, so.
Andy and I will go.
Okay, let's, if we could take about a 10-minute break, and we'll get back into the rest of the, anybody against having a 10-minute? Let me say that. Okay, we'll continue with department heads. First one, Public Works.
Danny Dayton, Director of Public Works. This month we just did our usual mowing and maintenance of everything. Nothing new, no new projects or anything started. Hopefully just within the next week or two we can get the antenna up for the Wi-Fi and get everything going here for that too.
One question, do we still need it came up, but it never got voted on, to give you permission to go ahead and take down the old spy reactor equipment?
Yes, I need to get rid of all that.
Right, this is something that
fit it in to get rid of the scrap.
And if you get rid of it, he's going to try to see if he can sell some of that stuff, and if nothing else, it's going to be gotten rid of.
The fire reactor, the old system that we have out there, the bottom of it's rotted out. The only thing holding it up is cables, and I just want it, it's full of lime, and I need to see if we can get rid of some of that stuff that's.
So when you take it down, it's just going to be scrap metal, or?
Yeah, we're going to scrap it out and take it up to scrapyard, and it'll go back into the water fund.
I know we tried it when the last time that the contractor was in there, we tried to talk him into taking it down, I guess for one reason or another, he didn't want to, as I recall.
Just some history on it, that old system, tried to see, without advertising, tried to see if we could sell some components of it. For the rural water, our circuit rider for this area, he took the information on it. One of the problems is it's an obsolete system. Nobody uses it anymore. He was thinking that perhaps somebody was interested in, could be interested in gravity filters. But how long, what was it, 2003, I think the RO went on. So they've been sitting ever since 2003. Yeah, they're really not worth anything. You know, they're not worth trying to rehabilitate. Can we make a motion on this? Okay.
I think that's what Danny, feel a little bit better before you start tearing things down, and that'll give them permission to do it.
I'd like to make a motion that the old water system, which consists of the spy reactor, the lime silo, the filters, and anything else that's part of that system, give the Public Works Director the permission to take it apart and scrap it, and he means that he has dispose of any of it, any of the products that are still in some of the units, and if he can sell something, fine, let him sell it. You know, whatever way he can do it. If he can sell it, fine. If he has to take it apart with our help and everything, and let him do that.
Yeah. We have a motion. We have a second?
I'll second that.
Any comments? All in favor of letting Danny dismantle the RO system, not the RO system, the spy reactor. Anyway, all in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Danny, go ahead. Police Department.
Chief Mason, for the record, once again, you all have a copy of the stats. And just for clarification, there's a lot of speed rumors going around, comments being made that Inglis is once again a speed trap. And just to notice one area of the is the fact that we wrote 64 citations and we gave 112 warnings. So I don't see how that could be even. It's true that this speed trap, we're given twice as many warnings as we are citations. So I just want to make that point. Also, animal control is down in numbers this month, but not because of his fault, but because of the budget. I've kind of had it thrown back on him as patrolling and looking for stray dogs. We're only responding to actual calls now because of the situations. So that's the reason his stats are down. We started the collection for Shop of the Cops, and I'd like to thank Ms. Peggy for being the first donator of $250 of Hickory Island, so that was a great way to kick the season off. So hopefully by Christmas, we'll have enough money this year to do more here than we did last year. And last year we did a little, I think it was 32. We shipped from 35 to 40 this year. Let's see if I can. Any questions? That's all I have.
Any questions for Chief Dixon? Thank you.
Thank you.
Fire and Rescue, Sally has the Fire Chief's report.
I believe he may have already given his report to you, but I had mentioned this at the budget workshop the other night. We had a situation this year. They had several calls this year in fire department, which basically put a dent in the call pay line item, and then to top it off, the fires that were out in the county they were called to assist, along with Town of Yankton was called to assist in those fires. And basically, they were told that because of them helping, that they would be reimbursed for the time that they put in. Well, apparently, that is not what is going to happen, according to the fire commissioner up there, because the state did not determine that a disaster or whatever anyway. So basically, the town spent approximately $4,800 out of the fire budget on call pay due to this fire. So right now, as it stands, the fire department has basically no money left in their budget. However, we still have chief pay and fire call pay for July, August, and September that we will have to pay the firemen. It's approximately, Ken figured, $3,330 is what it's going to run. What we wanted to ask the commission to do, that we had a little bit of money left in contingency, if it can. We've had a problem with revenues not coming in as intended, and we know that it's going to be tough. But what I would like to ask the commission to allow Commissioner Brennan and I to look into our budget and see if we can pull those funds, even if it's from another department in general fund, because as long as we don't go over our general fund budget, you know, see if we can get that money together in order to be able to pay them, or if not, take it out of the contingency fund that is still left. And if that's the case, then what I would have to do is bring another budget amendment to our budget hearing, and we would have to do that amendment at the beginning of the budget public hearing in order to rectify our current budget. Mm-hmm. So, get the commission's feel on that. I mean,
which department has the money that we can take it out, or should we take it?
Well, we really don't know. I mean, we're going to have to look. And basically, when we plan a budget, we plan to the best of our ability what is coming in based on the projections that we're getting from the state. Now, according to the auditor, if those don't come in, that's just nothing that we can do about it. We plan the budget based on the revenues coming in, and so therefore the expenditures are based on that revenue. And I talked to him about this the other day. He said, you know, the town is not at fault if the revenues don't come in. So it's not a legal issue if our expenditures are more than what our actual revenues come in. But morally, you know, we need to try to keep a close eye on the revenues coming in and the expenses going out. So, you know, I can't say that we've got the money right now to grab hold of to be able to pay this, but morally, the town will owe this to the firemen because they've made the calls and, you know, or they've worked these calls, so.
Sally, you know, we possibly have that almost $13,000 left. It. Of course, it's in paper,
yeah.
but it's in the contingency fund. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just take it out of there, you know? And I know it's a budget, you know, you'd have to do amendment again, but then you don't.
I believe that you could vote on that, and then I could just bring the amendment to have y'all sign if you want to do that. I can prepare the amendment and have you sign it if you wanted to go ahead and vote to move that amount of money.
Okay. Are we, since our year is not over with, are we, is that the end of it, or is it because we still, what if they go to some of these fires and get here in September? They're here, I mean, we'd...
The thing of it is that we have to have our budget amendments completed before we can pass the next budget. So, you know, everything has to be
done. Well, what I'm getting at is, shouldn't you add a little bit to this to make sure you don't have a problem?
Yeah, we could.
As long as we've got it in the contingency.
Yes, and I agree with you, Dick. I think that we need to move more to that line item, just in case. Sally, do you think $5,000 will get us through the end of the year or not?
Well, they're saying $3,330, so $5,000 should cover it.
Mr. Montaboody?
I don't know the exact facts, so maybe you can help me out. Was this fire declared an emergency by the state?
No, it was not. That's the problem.
So, okay, so it was the state property, right?
No.
Go through National Forest. Yeah, probably was.
So is there any way to get National Forest?
Not unless the state declares the emergency.
Well, I guess what the county problem is, the county was trying to get the state to pay for it. Mm-hmm. The state has said that, I mean, they only paid a certain amount, I guess. So, therefore, we got...
They paid something?
Evidently, but well, I don't know if they paid something or what.
But I'm aware of, no.
They didn't pay us anything.
Uh-uh.
But did the state pay the county anything?
Not that I'm aware of, because it was not declared an emergency, state emergency. So, therefore, I think the funds that they thought would come in did not come in.
Right, and the governor has to ask for it to be declared an emergency before the federal government will step in.
Now the mayor is, we've got the call sheets together for that, and the mayor is going to contact Lamar and find out, you know, if there's anything going on, because this is all just what has been relayed to our fire chiefs at the meeting, that we would not receive any funding. And I called Yankee Town to ask them, and she said the same thing, that they had not received any funding either. So
what the county is saying, look, we didn't get paid anything, so yeah. We bear the blunt, you bear the blunt too.
Well, at the same time that this was going on, I was on the east coast of Florida. They had closed 40. And they had some towns evacuated over there, and I think it's part of this same connection of this fire. So there were other counties involved. I don't know if they got money, but they had 40 closed for about 3 days.
Well, I think they spent, at least 3 days there, wasn't it?
It spent almost a week.
Oh, yeah.
Since we have the mayor, you know, he's looking into it and everything, maybe we can find out some information and everything, but, you know, let's move the meeting ahead. I'd like to make a motion that take $5,000 out of the contingency fund for call pay to tide the fire department over to the end of the fiscal year.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion?
Do you guys have a number of who we need to call? Our guys are out there standing on the side of the road sucking in smoke and going to get run over and stuff.
The mayor's going to make contact.
Well, I think the citizens ought to be calling whoever too, because that's kind of what next time we need to tell them, forget it, just let the crap burn up there.
It's a protection for us. I mean, the fire was coming this way, so I mean, it's not like we could tell them you can't go. I mean, you can't tell them you're not going to go anyway. It's their job.
I mean, we need to pay them, but then they need to pay us, because somebody's getting paid here. There's no way that they close 121, just like Mr. Montaverde said, that somebody in the state level isn't paying somewhere. So if there's a number to call whoever needs to be called, because what if next time, if I was Mr. Boat Drive, I'd say, why are we at the bank for our money to go risk our lives out there? You know, I see little signs when I go there, thanks to the firefighters and all that, but thanks goes only so far. So they were out there night and day, right?
Well, they were paid. I mean, they were paid. It's just now they got a shortfall on if anything else comes about.
Yeah.
So it's not that the firefighters didn't get paid. They've got to pay.
County. No. The town paid thinking that reimbursement
was going to
come in. Yeah, I think that's something we're going to look into yet. So.
Right. Okay, all in favor of the motion? Please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. So let's go ahead and pay them and come later with the paperwork. Was there anything else with fire?
No, sir.
Okay. Land use, I don't know if George said. George, you got anything?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Next item, consent agenda. Someone care to make a motion?
I'll make the motion. There are a couple of things that, comments on that. One of the, there was a correction, you should have gotten a one-page agenda to replace the August 4th. There was a statement in there regarding the garbage collection revenue, and there was one word changed in there. It was from senior to his, and that was the only correction on that. But I believe also Mr. Monteverdi had something that he wanted to do before you vote on it.
Yes, I've read the minutes online, and there's a correction that I think is appropriate. Last month, we had a discussion, all of us and the mayor, and the minute says that all the water in our town is controlled by Levy County, which is not correct. Our discussion was the river was controlled by Levy County, and the waterways within the town were controlled by Inglis, and you all approved or said you would entertain me writing a waterway ordinance dealing with derelict boats and navigation. Those two things are not in there.
Which is it, August 9th? The August 9th?
It just has Levy County is responsible for water. It doesn't mention anything about the ordinance that I'm going to write a draft.
I remember that you had asked if you wrote one, would the commission look at it?
Yes.
I do remember that.
It's not in the minutes.
It seemed like we voted on that, didn't we?
No.
It was not a voted on. No, you just all nodded your head, and the Mayor Williams said that the water on the river belonged to Levy County, but we talked about the waterways in the town. So that correction needs to be made. The Inglis is responsible for the canals in Inglis.
What page is that on?
That's under public comments, number 5, which is about...
On page 5.
5.
I think that's because it's not verbatim, it's just...
Yeah, it's not verbatim.
It might be motion verbatim. The tape itself? Did you do the tape itself?
No, I listened to the tape, but because I was up here, it leads you to believe, anybody following the minutes, that Inglis is not responsible for the waterways within Inglis. The statement's incorrect.
I still don't see where that is on this packet.
Well, it is.
Oh,
I'd like to get it.
Well, the last item.
Oh. Well, we said well, the waterways were controlled by the homeowner association or the park or whatever it was, whoever boundary is
in. We think. And you're all going to allow me to do some work. But the statement in there is that the water is controlled by Levy County, which is not.
Yeah, only the river is, and only half of that. I mean, the other half is controlled by...
So I just would like to get those two things, one amended and one added.
I don't know what we got to do about that. What's your suggestion on that, Sally?
Okay. So basically, what it should say is the mayor stated that the county has control over the river.
Correct.
Over the river. And just leave it at that.
No, we all agreed that, as far as I know, Mayor Williams and George O'Dare have already discovered that the waterways within Inglis belong to Inglis, correct?
I think it's the homeowners association.
No, everybody thinks that. But however, permitting for docks and all the rest of it, including on the river, comes to you all. So I haven't finished my research. I've given you probably 50 pages of research that even refutes that the river is part of Levy County.
We don't do dock permits.
We do now, I think.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They still have.
So this is a pretty, this is a subject I wanted to make sure got cleared up here. But you collect money for docks. I know, because I've paid for one.
Actually, what you'd like to do is.
I want the minutes to reflect truly.
Okay, could Darlene go back and take a look? Yeah, I think you've got an understanding of what he's saying.
Let's pull, if you're mine, we'll pull August the 9th out of there and then correct it and then bring it back.
We can revise.
Just let everyone know that this is online and where to get it, so that if they wish to see all this information before a meeting, they know how to get to our website.
It's under townofenglis.org.
Can we put it in the newscaster? Just one time, $25, and let everybody know?
It seems to me it's been there, isn't it?
Yeah. It's that better. It said listen.
Website.
Yeah, and it says on the page every week, listen to Inglis.
Like tonight, your commissioner's packet, unless they go to the website tonight, they don't get the full packet you have. There's 73 pages. So they have to go to the website. I read the 73 pages. But unless you know where to go to do that every week, it's available the Thursday before the meeting. So, I mean...
Oh, we can.
Most people don't know this.
Well, I wouldn't think he charges for one line deal.
Does everybody know?
Yes. If they come to the meeting, they know. I mean, that's one of my issues. You know, come to the meeting, find out what's going on, and then you'll know beforehand.
So whenever you make your motion, if you'll include the correction that was made on August the 4th, but leave out August the 9th, and we'll just bring it back next month.
I make a motion that we accept the consent agenda, leaving out the regular meeting minutes due to corrections necessary, and that we accept the corrections for the August 4th workshop.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried 4-0.
We need a motion on the
balance. Now we need a motion on the balance of the consent agenda.
I make a motion that we accept the financial statements for July 2011.
Second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, anything from the Planning Commission?
No, there was
George, have anything?
No, there was no report.
Okay. There's no layback report? Did you want to give one? Okay.
Yeah. It'll be short. We're working on getting the wireless antennas up with the maintenance department, and Rayback is working on the fall dance, and I believe at this time that's going to have an Elvis theme to it.
Okay.
And the computer classes start October 19th.
Who's in charge of the Christmas parade? Is that Rayback or is that now?
Rayback.
Are we planning to do anything?
As far as I know, they're going to have, at the meeting this month, they're going to start planning for the parade. And I believe because of all the Elvis stuff that's happening this fall in Inglis, the Christmas parade may carry an Elvis, Blue Christmas or whatever that song was of his, will be the theme. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, if there's nothing further there, there is no old business, so new business. Mr. Hosian has been very, very patiently waiting to...
Hi, Joe Hosian. I submitted the paperwork
the approval of irrigation and landscape plus plan for the AMVET. Part of that was the letter from the AMVET folks, request a waiver of the application fee for the register of the landscape part of the development order, as the boundary of the landscape will not change. After review by planning commission and landscape office, the amount of planning can be reduced and still fall within the guidelines of the requirements. I believe I submitted all the necessary paperwork for your approval. The landscape plan was drawn up by one of the gentlemen from the land, from our planning commission. So we have reduced the amount of plants, but our costs are, for the plants, approximately $3,800. Cost for the total irrigation is over three, and we spent about $3,600 for a well, which is operating right now.
Well, I think this has been discussed pretty thoroughly at the Planning Commission, and I think soon to have Mr. O'Byer give us his opinion on this.
We've looked at the AMVET's landscape program. We knew when we first looked at it, when the development was created, that it was a great deal of landscape. I mean, there's like 300 different varieties of plants. And the total of the excess of 301 by Vernon's 25 live oaks. Now, what at 93 junipers. What we've done is, Charlie Bob, with the planning commission, volunteered to revise this and stay within our palette, within the amount of planning that's minimally required. He has done that. It's a nice job. No one on planning right now seems to have a problem with what he's created. We will be bringing Joe back into planning next week so we can finalize that if you approve the waiver. What it is, we don't really have any monies into this revision since I virtually just met work on it. We say we didn't need his input, Charlie Bott volunteered for it. We've already collected monies for the development order originally, so all we're doing is allowing them to plant less vegetation. Same layout, just less of it. And my way of looking at it, and Bruce Day's also, if we haven't spent any money, he doesn't owe us any.
Is Mr. Potts here? I think I saw him back here. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, George says, he volunteered his time to work with him and try to get it trimmed down to something that is still going to do the job, but be within reason. And that, anybody have any comments?
I'd like to make a motion that that we waiver the application fee for a revised landscape development on that property.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Motion.
Any further discussion at all?
How much was the application fee that we just waived? Do we know how much it is?
We've never had to do a revision.
So we don't really know what
we actually made up a new revision to the development as current.
Do we have any kind of a timeline on when this is going to be done now? I mean, do we have a regulation?
They're about to go.
The gentleman who's going to do the irrigation, he's talking right now. The man up to water the plants. So it's a question of getting the irrigation in. The plants will go in, there will be mulch, and all the plants and such will be guaranteed for one full year. We're ready to go, all we need is your approval.
And the planning commission also is going to put a time limit on next week when we meet. We'll give them a timeline to complete this job.
He said that the gentleman's going to do the irrigation once he gets the plants and he gets the irrigation in, 2 days if we're done.
Commissioner Brennan, you might also want to add to your motion to allow the reduced amount of vegetation, because that was one of the requests.
we had an excess of originally over 450 plants. If we could put them all in, you would not have been able to see our coast.
It's, from the way it sounded, it still meets the English code, so we're really not waiving anything. It's just that when it came in, it was excessive.
It's in town, and it didn't look like a nursery, sir.
I talked with George this morning about this, and he assured me that does meet the requirements. You know, it's just a reduction from what was originally designed, and it was overkill, greatly overkill. So...
Planning Commission did not have a problem with that, because we were reviewing the development order, we found it was our place to tell them to reduce.
Yeah, what? Okay, if there's not,
You have to...
Mr. Zaloga?
You have to get him to revise his motion to revise it to add on about the plant.
No, we don't need to.
No, they didn't need to.
Jim Zaloga, English, my wife and I are both vets. I support the vets. One problem I have, they have way too much landscaping, lots of plants, they like seven nurseries, two nurseries, it was way over. So we let them go through it and all that. One thing is, I don't want this to happen again. You know, we had three new buildings or three new development orders in English in the last 3 years. Ice machine was one, my tackle shop was number two, and they were number three. What happens is they let them get the CO, even though they didn't put the irrigation system in, for the plants. And my suggestion to the planning board a couple weeks ago was, before we let somebody move in, George should approve it, and Dick Streeter or the vice president, Daryl Diamond, should approve it on the CO order before, you know, just say go ahead and move in, whether it's done or not. So this doesn't happen again, maybe with Dollar General store in a couple of weeks. I'll go ahead, and then 6 months later we go, oh, you didn't do that. You know, so it's too late. Let's control it in the beginning instead of after the fact. But I do agree that the landscaping was way too much, and we want to get the vets in.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Andy.
Okay, I understand this problem is you had a ground here at the request of the former mayor, and that's what put a monkey wrench in this whole deal. So it's nothing George did. He's trying to fix stuff other people come in here and screwed up in the first place.
Thank you.
I quite agree. George was just up to date. Let me tell you, he did a heck of a good job. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened with Mr. Brown, etc., I was not in position to be in office at the time. I had nothing to do with it, so I don't have any idea what the heck occurred. But this gentleman did one heck of a good job in getting everything done.
Yeah. Okay, if there'd be anything further, all in, well, let's see, the motion, do you want to go ahead and repeat the motion for two things to allow the reduction in all right, it's just that he doesn't then we're not going to ask for any other fee for
no
right waive application fee. Second by Commissioner Merritt.
Yes. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried 4-0. Thank you for your patience, Mr. Horton. Sorry about that. Okay, Mr. Zaloga.
Jim Zaloga, English, and I asked you guys last month, I get a little packet, and I asked to make a decision. I don't agree with Mr. Rivera's decision on signs of the plants that are next door, or I don't agree with his reading of the code, and I'd like to go up to the next step and see what your reading of the code is. And I'm glad Mr. Rivera could be here today and give his opinion on it too.
Okay.
I think I can step
in. Go ahead.
As a liaison to code enforcement, I took quite a bit of time asking questions and
things go on between Thursday night and Tuesday mornings in this town on signage and things that shouldn't be done. That's an after effect. Then he comes in, he sees this story, he finds out problems, and he has to go from there. And as his liaison, I have to respect that. I can't micromanage him because I'm just there as a liaison. Because in actuality right now, we don't have a code enforcement board to bring this to. You have to have five, there's only two. And he jumped on it right away, the situation. And I guess the protocol was for him to give him that time limit, and I don't think that time limit's up yet. Am I correct, George? The 90 days isn't up yet. So I can't say to him, well, now you got to go back and straighten out something, because he's in charge of doing that, okay? He did that, what he thought was the right thing to do, so I can't overstep his judgment, okay? And it's still being worked on. And the problem here I see is that, not that it used to be, this is the way we did it, we're going to do it now, or any of this grandfathering or any of that, okay? Times change, regulations got to change too. But certain things happen that's out of his priorities till it comes to his attention, or ours, because we're the town commissioners, but even if we are liaisons to our departments, you know, we don't run around and do their jobs because that's what they're being paid to do under us, you know, and what I'm trying to say to you. So I'm not making amends for what happened because when we leave here, anything could happen tomorrow, and how are we going to know until somebody says or sees it, okay? And it's just like the police doing tickets. We don't run around to harass our citizens, okay, you know, and watch them and take pictures and do things to hurt them, you know, but sometimes things happen accidentally. They don't know they're in violation, okay?
Sure.
So I'm not trying to stay on your side or his side. I'm just saying I was told to try to find out what I could. So now what's happened is he set the story in motion with what he's already done with them on that 90-day notice, okay? To take care of that situation. And from my understanding, it's a rollaway cart that can be taken in and out at any time. Am I right, George?
Yes, ma'am.
And when the county comes down and says certain things about their jurisdiction for these highways, this is a county road, that's a federal road. Now we're getting everybody involved, okay?
Sure.
But this is our town and in our limits, and it's supposed to be that a municipality has the right to have certain restrictions. Now, sometimes the state can supersede our deals if we impose on it, okay? So if that cart's there one day on the road and that county man is here, can't do anything about it, okay? But you said that the county guy said, somebody said it could be there, right? So I'm trying to get the story straight for everybody to hear it straight, so nobody thinks we're not listening to your issue, okay? But this is where it stands right now that I see, if I'm not mistaken. Because he's already done what he had to do on the after effect of it, we have to wait to see that process. We can't now jump and do another process until he's given that time, because anybody else could have had the same problem. And we can't go to them and say, okay, we're not going to give you the 90 days now. We're going to do something about it now, okay? Because that's not right.
Right.
So what I'm trying to tell you is, and I'm trying to tell the board, that just because we're up here and we're liaisons to our different departments, we don't micromanage them. I couldn't tell the chief what to do because I'm not a police lady. Even though my dad was a policeman, I can't say what he should do, okay? He's doing it to the best of his abilities to what he has, plus the paperwork he's allowed to do it with, okay? In other words, we can't punish someone overly or punish somebody underly. We got to give them the paper rights to get things fixed, okay?
Sure.
And until it's brought to our attention, which you did, we normally don't know the day-to-day what each department's doing, okay? They give us our monthly reports, they call us, we talk to them, we go to them, you know, we interact with them. But as far as going in there and telling him, okay, let's get to this page and you're going to do this and you're going to do that, we don't do that, okay? So we have to have a process of how things get done. There's a lot of things up here we don't actually know all the time what's going on, what's brought to our attention, okay? So that's the best way to explain it to you that I've found out.
Sure. One question from Mr. Lear is, on the 90-day, the time limit, whatever, is, are you, in your opinion, are you allowed to have a sign on the county right-of-way?
Should be on the county right-of-way. I don't believe that sign you're talking about is on the county right-of-way. They've come and looked at it. Lots of places where you can put it. I don't believe you're somebody any further than some of them. And it's just temporary sign.
Okay, well, this is kind of funny to me because for the last 9 months, we said it was a county problem because it was on the county right-of-way.
Sure.
And now you say it's not that
I have washed their hands with you.
Right, but okay. You're saying the county said
it won't do anything for you again. That's why they put the thing on my back.
Okay, but is it...
I am trying to do the best I can reading our ordinances with the same influence the county did.
Okay, but you're saying it's not on the county right of way, it's on his personal or on his business property.
That's like that was on his personal property.
Which isn't true, because if you look on the survey maps, it's not the county being sure.
They measured it with a tape.
The county being sure that the yellow sign was exactly on the line and that the other sign could be allowed and Holmes was taken in every night. That was the agreement. That's why I haven't said anything in, you know, a couple months. The situation's gone for 9 months. No changes. As soon as they bring it up to the board, now we get, or as soon as I got the request for an agenda item, now we gave them a 90-day notice. But before that, we said, okay, you put a sign up, can you get a license now? And that was like a week after he put the sign up. And then he goes, oh no, the guy put a request for an agenda item, we need to pay for that sign. These are all after the fact items. It's not... Let's see, when you request a sign, you should go request a sign, get it approved, put it up, or get it approved, pay for it, and then you put it up. It doesn't go the other way. You get approval afterwards. Oh, and now next week I want to pay for it.
I'm about to do a lot of things you don't think are appropriate to keep what I do going. I'm not here every day of the week. I don't want to sit up here and rebut you. But Jerry and I had discussed that one particular sign you talked about. I told him, do what he had to do through the weekend, I'll be back on Tuesday. It was discussed. He had his paperwork in hand. I needed a photograph to go with it when he got done. So it was an easy process. He's not the only one I've done it with.
Okay, but it was paid for after the fact. Like another couple of days.
It wasn't like you could rob a bank and it was legal.
That's it. That's why the book's here. That's why you made a code book. And that's what your job is, to enforce the codes. That's all.
Thank you.
I may step out of the realm of this whole thing. But working part-time, I do give the people in town a benefit of getting things done while in my absence. I trust them. What else can I say?
You do the job you paid for. That's all you got to worry about for now.
Michael White, it just so happens that I'm friends with the guy that has a safe shop down Madison Island. Been there for about 25 or 30 years. He opens it periodically. Mr. Loads Up, or Zaloga, goes in there, tells him he can't have no signs like he's got out there in Dunn Allen. He can't make no money. What has he got a vape store out there for? Next thing we're going to have is you guys attacking the guy in Dunnell to get rid of his competition. What he needs to do is work, do whatever it is, and get along with people. I know a lot of people that won't go in there no more because of all this. He's just hurting his own business. The sign was 1 foot this side on the counter. The county told him, back it up a foot. George goes in there and writes him all kinds of tickets or whatever, trust me, the county ain't gonna uphold it. You can do whatever law stuff you want. When you get into the county, they're gonna say, look, we had no dog in that fight. That's over. So this is getting way ridiculous over a sign. He acts like it's been 9 months. It ain't even out of the 90 days. And he's up here. You need to go over there and just put locks on the guy's door so he feels better, I guess.
I think we rely on George to take care of these things, and I don't see, you know, it's, I don't know any other way to go around it. We're certainly not going to jump in with both feet on something like this. This is George's way of, you know, this is his business.
Well, if I may, Dick Streeter and I have discussed this. We know some of the signage package is maybe, possibly a little convoluted. It's kind of easy to interpret in a certain direction if you want to look at it. What we're planning to do, starting next week, we are going to start looking at the signage package again. We would like to see some of the verbiage come out of there, more so per district rather than the entire package. We'd like to see if you're in a commercial zone, this is all you can do. If you're in I zone, you should do the same thing that a commercial C1 does. C1 does the same thing C2 does. Signage package doesn't have to be as wide and as broad as what we've got. And Dick and I realize that. So we are going to look at it. If that satisfies Mrs. Zaloga that we are going to review it and take a look at it, I'm happy. But we are going to do this, whether it's his promotion to get this done. We've known our signage package is not exactly as it should be. We put fingers on some people while we let others do, go scot-free. Exemption for real estate people while small business owners have to pay. There's a lot of things in there that we need to look at and review. Definitions of signs, probably as much as anything else. But we're not hard-headed about this, and we're not turning a blind eye. It is going to be looked at. It's going to be reviewed. I don't know what else to do for the next 90 days. 60 days now. November 1st, if what we've done over there still doesn't meet Mr. Zaloga's approval, he is very welcome to come back in and do another complaint, and we'll work on it again. But if I get a consensus from the whole planning commission, that is okay the way it stands now. That's the end of it.
Thank you. I think at the last meeting, it was mentioned that the planning commission would take a look at these things because I don't think we probably have hardly any ordinance or chapter on some of these items that doesn't have some ambiguity in it, and that we do the best. I think they'll do the best they can to work it out, but there's still things that are going to be questioned. But I think for right now, we've got to. As far as I'm concerned, we go with what George has come up with. He's worked at it. He's taken proper action, and they're going to go through the sign ordinance in the next month or two. I don't think we can ask any more than that. I don't know what your folks' thoughts are. Feel the same.
Same.
Well, if there's nothing further, let's move on. Public comments. We've been getting quite a few already. I think we got it pretty well aired. Anybody have anything? Okay. Workshops and special meetings. I think we've got you lined up.
Yes, we have our first budget hearing September the 15th, which is Thursday night at 6 o'clock. And then our final budget hearing will be September the 22nd, the following Thursday, at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Anybody calling for anything special as we get through the budget before we start any more workshops? we got off of them. Okay, town clerk, any more comments?
The only comment I wanted to make, Bruce Day had sent in a outstanding proposed comprehensive plan amendment package to DCA, and we had received one letter stating that they had received it, and the mayor and I both got a copy, and saying that it was being reviewed. I got notification today that they have reviewed it and have found that there's no cause for them to do anything, you know, other than, so it's basically been accepted and been approved, and we'll be getting a letter on that, so.
Is that it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Comments? Mayor, you have any announcements or anything that you're...
No. I mean, the Dollar General's going to be opening, I think, slated for like the 23rd. So that's come along pretty good. I guess Inglis got his first chain store open, which was a Subway. Hope that's a
yes.
Good or not, but it did. And I think the town's, I mean, you know, even though we do have some discrepancies on some different issues, I think the town's coming together, and I think we're going to get a lot of things done. And that's about it.
Mr. Brennan, do you have anything?
No, no comments at this
time. Okay.
No comments.
Mr. Merritt, anything?
Yeah, I do.
I'm good. Let's call for a...
Wait, I do.
Okay.
I do. I'm going to do some bragging on roads and bridges. I'm really happy that before this budget was over, we managed, after years, to get some roads paved. Real little roads, but they got paved. Lee Terrace got repaved. Nottingham got paved. And then we had our problem with car parts, which I'm so happy to say that between DOT and the state and everyone else, they solved that problem for his flooding. They had, when they put the big over traffic light poles in, they had concreted up his water pipes that take the water through to go out and get it, and so it got all plugged up. Well, it took a while, I think, almost, I don't know, about 5 phone calls and 3 letters and everything else to finally get them on the ball, but they came down here and they resolved it and said they had done the problem. So I'm happy to say for that business, it saved a big worry with the storms coming in the future that this man could have lost his business, which was very unfair because he pays taxes and he was really good about it all this time, and it's been going on, I'm sure, for years. So I'm happy to say that got all resolved. And we have more plans to do more in the future, whether with real paving or millage or millings or whatever. So I'm happy to say in the future there's going to be more things done for the town with the town taxes. So thank you.
With that, someone make a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Can we get a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.